Jesus is here, and where Jesus is, any good thing can happen. Any good thing can happen. Amen. I was in a service one time. There was a lady in that service that was supposed to go for cataract surgery. And we were just worshiping the Lord. Everybody just worshiping God. And all of a sudden something fell and hit her on the hand. Amen. She looked down and there was a cataract. Amen. Jesus said, I think I'll just do this right now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I said, God can do anything anytime. Amen. I believe in this service, God could just reach down and heal something in somebody's body. And it might be mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. He can do anything anytime if we'll just get in the lock. And you don't even have to be asking him about it. I said that she wasn't asking God for healing. She was just praising the Lord.
All right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I know two other men that received jobs this week that needed jobs. Amen. I think God's answering prayer. He may not do it exactly when you want him to, but you know what? It might be he's working out something better than you ever dreamed.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. God's right on time. We've been singing that a lot lately. God's an on time God. Matthew 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. And he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. That was a charge they disobeyed. But it was all right. Some things are just too good to keep to yourself.
Yeah.
Amen? You know, when Jesus resurrected Jairus' daughter, he said, don't you tell anybody.
What is that?
Yeah, right. Huh? Sure, we're not going to. Amen? When he healed somebody, he said, don't you tell anybody about that. Uh-huh. Amen. You know, that's one of the best ways to get people to tell something. Yeah. Now, don't you tell anybody about that. Amen. And so he said, don't tell, but they did. It was just too good to keep to themselves. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, of the chief priests, of the scribes, and be killed. And be raised again the third day. I want to talk to you tonight about the church that prevails.
All right.
The church that prevails. God bless you. You may be seated. I didn't know. I learned a lot of things this week. I was kind of looking through church. I learned that there's some musical group called Church. But they're not Pentecostal. They sure don't look like it. Amen. And they're real, real far out there. And do things that we just don't really advocate that people ought to do that are serving Jesus Christ. Amen. And then I learned that there's a Google church. Did you know there's a Google church? And the Google church believes that Google's God. Amen. I'd hate to have a God called Google. Amen. And they say that they can get more answers from Google than they can from God. But let me tell you something. The answer you get for God, something Google can't do. I learned a long time ago, Google might tell me how to find something or somebody, but Google can't heal my body when I'm sick. and it can't touch my troubled mind and give me peace, and it can't wash away my sins, and it can't save my soul, and it can't give me peace that passes understanding, or joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. There's just one place that I can receive that, and that's from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is no other source but Jesus. Amen. The word church is mentioned 77 times in the Bible, all of them in the New Testament. This is the very first time in the Bible that the word church is ever mentioned. Jesus only used it 3 times. All of those were in the book of Matthew and in 2 verses. 1 time in this verse, 2 times in Matthew chapter, I believe it's 18 and verse number 17. And so it's not a word that Jesus used a whole lot, but it was a very special word.
Amen.
Amen. And then Luke mentions it 18 times in the book of Acts. Paul mentions it 42 times in his writing. In the book of Hebrews, it's mentioned twice. Peter mentions it 1 time. James mentions it 1 time. And John mentions it 10 times in his writings. So the word church is used in the Bible by various authors and various people. But what does it really mean? The word church means a coming out or a calling out. You don't join the church of Jesus Christ. You were called to the church of Jesus Christ. You don't wake up one morning and just decide, I'll be a Christian. I've heard people say, when I get ready to be saved, I'll be saved. When I get ready to come to God, I'll come to God. Oh, really? Where are you going to find Him? You don't find God unless He wants to be found. I said, you don't find God unless He wants to be found. God is invisible. You're not going to ever see Him unless you're privileged to go to heaven. Amen. And God chooses to whom He reveals His presence. Not everybody can feel God. I said, not everybody can feel God. If you can feel the presence of the Lord tonight, you ought to be grateful to God, because you know how to feel after Him and you know how to sense Him. Amen. You know how to do that. Not everybody can feel the presence of God. Amen. It's a privilege tonight. Hey, I don't want to flirt with disaster. I want to always be sensitive. And I've told the Lord so many times, God, I'm like David. Don't ever cast me away from Your presence. Hey, it's important tonight, when the Spirit of God is moving, that you and I respond to the Spirit of God. Psychologists say that when you feel something and don't respond to it, every time you do that, you become a little more desensitized. Until after a while, you don't feel anything at all. I believe that can happen in church. Amen. Sometimes we come in and we're real tired and we're real weary. We're so weary and we think, I just don't really feel like it tonight, Lord. I just don't think I can do it tonight. And so we just kind of sit there and let it go wash over us, and there's no response. Amen. That's a dangerous thing to do, because the devil realizes if he got you not to worship tonight, then he'll do it again Wednesday night, and he'll do it again Sunday morning, and he'll do it again Sunday night, until you get so bound up you can no longer respond to the Spirit of God. It's dangerous tonight not to respond when God is moving. I'm not presumptuous enough to tell you tonight how to respond. I don't know how you respond to God. Brother Hart reminded me today what Brother Holly used to say. Brother Holly used to say, a lion roars and a dove coos, but they both respond. You might be a lion tonight. You might roar when God moves in you, or you might be a dove, and you might coo when the Lord moves in you. But you just need to respond. However, God, when He moves on you, let there be some kind of an answer. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Ferguson tonight, I know it was real obvious. And that's good. I like it. Amen. But I don't do it like that. Amen. I just don't. Sorry, but I don't. And don't judge somebody's spirituality by how they respond to God. I've known people that just stand and weep big old salted tears running down their cheeks and staining the front of their shirt, and that's all they can do is weep in the presence of the Lord. I know people that shout with a loud voice when God begins to move upon them. I know people that just stand there and get sermons in their head. I know people that yank out a pen and start writing just as fast as they can because that's how the Holy Ghost is moving upon them. It's not important how He moves, but it's important that you respond somehow to the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I was talking about the church. Somehow I got off on that. I'm sorry. Amen. I'll get back to this. Amen. We'll be out of here shortly. 2 hours, I promise, tops. Amen. And so God calls people out. Anybody remember when the Lord called you? I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I'm so glad He's real tonight. This is genuine. We're not talking about something that you play with here tonight. I was just a 15-year-old boy sitting on the back pew of the church when the Lord called me. I didn't want to go. I gripped the back of the pew. Tears were running down my cheeks. I was wiping them away as angry as I could be. God, don't you embarrass me in front of all these people. I'm tough. Don't you know I'm tough? God didn't care if I was tough. He was turning me inside out. I ran back to the bathroom so nobody would see me crying. But you know what? I couldn't stop crying. In the bathroom, still just sobbing. Miserable. Went back in there. Amen. Standing back in my same spot. Weeping, crying. Saying, God, I wish You wouldn't do this. I'm so embarrassed to be crying back here like this. I'm tough. I got big muscles. I care. I work out. I'm strong. God didn't care about any of that. Amen. And so I'm back there crying, and all of a sudden this big old giant comes back there. He's huge. Comes back there and puts his big old arm around me. You know, I got to go down about 3 inches. And he looked at me, and he said, Johnny, he said, you know what? It takes a man to live for God. And you know what I've discovered? It takes a man to live for God. Anybody can be a worm in the wind and just give in to any old flow. And anybody can cuss whenever they get angry and abuse other people. Anybody can do that. But it takes a man to bite your tongue and hold your temper and stand up and act right and be a man. And it's not easy to do that. It takes a man to say no to temptation. I was with a group of young people one time, and they were talking about temptation, and there were some boys in the group said, when we're around girls, that we just can't help ourselves. The Holy Ghost came on me, and I said, yes, you can. Don't tell me that if you got the Holy Ghost, you can't say no to your stinking flesh. That That's an excuse and nothing else. The world tells you that. The worldly music tells you that. Hollywood tells you that. Everywhere you go tells you that. But the Bible said that you don't go around touching innocent flesh. Amen. And you don't go around seducing people. Amen. You get yourself in a situation, you get the Joseph spirit. Flee. I believe Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, flee youthful lust. And don't leave your coat when you go. Amen. I don't know why I said that, but I did. I'm just saying, hey, be careful. But you can control yourself. Just don't get yourself in a situation where that happens. I'll just go ahead and preach. What do y'all think? Amen. Pentecostal young people just don't need to be doing what worldly young people are doing. They're just places. If you go where they go, you're going to do the same thing they do. Now, I'm not going to say God won't forgive you, but I'm going to say you may alter your life and your ministry. You may get yourself into something that you don't get out of, and you might not ever be used of God the way He wanted to use you. God can forgive us, but people have a lot harder time. Amen. God forgets, but people remember a long time. Just be careful. Just be careful. God calls people. God calls people. Amen. He calls us out. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the church means the called out ones. Woo! I'm glad everybody say called out. What did He call you out of? I said, what did He call you out of? Huh? He called you out of sin. He called you out of this whole world system. And He said, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. God calls the church out. Amen. Praise God. So we are supposed to be separate from the world. The word holy means separated. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I know there's people that don't believe that, but the Bible teaches that. Amen. And let me tell you something. You'll not have any depth and you'll not have any strength until you do that. God honors separation from the world. God honors separation from sin. And that's where your strength comes in. Amen. And then I want to talk about the word prevail. Talking about the church that prevails. The word prevail means to overcome or to overthrow. Hallelujah. Brother Neil, there was a time that sin overthrew me. Amen. I might want to do something, but I couldn't do something. But there was a time that sin overthrew me. Amen. But after I met Jesus Christ, I found out that I can overthrow sin now. It was a wrestling match. And sin used to mop the ring with me. But when the Holy Ghost came upon me, hallelujah, I found out now I can win, hallelujah. Anybody say amen to that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It'll clean up your language when you get the Holy Ghost. You'll talk different than you used to talk. Amen. You'll walk different than you used to walk. You'll go different places than you used to go. There are some places you won't go. Somebody said, if I come to a place and I gotta lay down my cross to go in, I just won't go in. If my cross can't go, I won't go either. Amen. Missionary preached to some people. They were islanders surrounded by the sea. The sea was their life. He went one day and noticed that none of them would go in the water even though they made their living in the water. And he said, why aren't you going out to fish today? Why aren't you going out in the water today? people said, well, we didn't know if the Holy Ghost would stand getting wet. And they said, if the Holy Ghost won't go with us, we're not going to go in the water. He said, the Holy Ghost doesn't mind. You can go ahead and go in the water. Amen. He can stand the water. He can stand the heat. He can stand the fire. Hallelujah. Amen. He can stand anything. But I appreciate their sincerity. Amen. We just didn't know. We didn't want this Holy Ghost. Amen. I know I read a testimony of a young girl facing the firing squad in the former Soviet Union. They were going to shoot her because of her faith. And they said, if you don't recant your faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to shoot you. She said, if you do, she said, shoot me in the head, not in the heart, because Jesus lives here. Amen. Praise God. Now, you don't have to believe this if you don't want to. You can be a skeptic if you like. Amen. But I saw a shirt that a missionary had that had, I don't remember, 5 or 6 bullet holes in it, where bullets had gone not only through the front of the shirt, but exited through the back of the shirt, and the man didn't have one hole in his skin. I can't explain that to you. He was wearing the shirt, and somebody started blasting away at him. The bullets went right through and didn't even leave a hole except in the shirt. Amen. Now you don't have to believe that. Your faith may not be that strong. Mine is. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm just telling you today that there's a prevailing church. I'm just telling you that there's a church that can prevail. Hallelujah. I understand that we're headed for some stormy times. I understand, and I don't like to preach this way. Amen. I love the United States of America. There's no more patriotic person in this assembly. But I'm telling you that we're headed for some hard times in this country. And the reason is, the Bible said, for the nation that shall forget God shall be turned into hell. And I'm not just talking about hellfire. I'm talking about the world itself is going to feel like you're living in that condition. And friend, we're headed down that road. Morally, we're headed down that road. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, they have done their very best, and they're beginning to, and they're going to keep pursuing, trying to muzzle this pulpit. Amen. As a church, a biblical church, a Bible preaching church, homosexuality is a sin. But it's also a sin to hate homosexuals. Did you hear what I said? Homosexuality is a sin, but hating anybody is a sin. Amen. We ought to hate all sin. Isn't that right? But we should love every sinner. No matter what his sin is, love the sinner. Pray for the sinner until God delivers him. Is that not right? Amen. I'm talking about a prevailing church. Amen. The reason I mentioned that one particular thing is because we're trying to pass a law that anybody says anything against homosexuality or lesbianism, it's called hate speech. It's not hate speech. Amen. It's just saying what the Bible said. And I don't know about every group, but we still believe the Bible, don't we? Amen. This is still the ultimate and final authority. The day may come, Brother Hart, when we may have an involuntary jail ministry. we may be put there like the Apostle Paul. I might have to write you some letters. Amen. From a prison somewhere. But you know what? The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient no matter what we go through. Oh, we look at the book of Acts and our, as Brother Raymond said, our jaw drops. Amen. My, what God did back then. Well, God had to do stuff back then. If He didn't deliver them, there wasn't any deliverance. If He didn't heal them, there was no healing. We may see that day again. And when we do, we're going to see more miracles than we've ever seen before. Is that all right? You want to be a part of a prevailing church? Amen. Jesus was with His disciples. He asked him an important question. Whom do men say that I am? That's an important question. Who do men say that I am? They said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. Some say that you're Jeremiah. And then he asked a more important question. He said, but who do you say that I am? Now it's important what somebody else thinks about God. But it's more important what you think about God. He said, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And men, Peter just stood up bold as a lion. Amen. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, it's still a revelation who Jesus is. Anybody remember when you got a revelation? You remember when the light came on? Amen. I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't know who to pray to. I don't know whether to pray the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost. But when you get the revelation that these three are one, amen, my, what a relief, hallelujah, that when you say Jesus, you've said it all. Amen, praise God. Amen, did you know that the Father's name is Jesus? Amen, Jesus said that He would send the Son in His name. So if He came in the Father's name, then the name is Jesus. We know the Son's name is Jesus because the angel said, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. We know that the Holy Ghost, the name is Jesus because He said, Another Comforter will I send in my name. Amen. So that name, when you want to call the Father, call Him Jesus. When you want to talk to the Holy Ghost, call Him Jesus. When you want to talk to the Son, call Him Jesus. And you're going to talk to the same one. Amen. 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 If you had a telephone that could reach heaven, and you called up there, and you wanted to say, I want to speak to the Father. Amen. Same one would answer. Amen. They'd say, I'm the Father, my name's Jesus. And then you call and say, I'd like to talk to the Son, please. This is He. Well, I thought you were the Father. Well, I'm the Father in creation. Amen. I'm the Son in redemption. Amen. Now let me explain this maybe like this tonight so you understand, hopefully a little bit better. If you see more than one preacher up here tonight that's preaching, you need glasses. There's just one Johnny Grissom up here. Amen. Just one. But you see, I am a father. And I am a son. And I am a husband. And a whole lot of other things. Amen. Chief cook and bottle washer. Whole lot of stuff. But all of those are titles. And all of those are different jobs that I do and different relationships that I have. As a father, I'm a father to my child. And my relationship with my daughter is not like any other relationship in the world. Amen. That's not the same. Now I'm a husband to my wife, and that's a different relationship than a father with my daughter. And my relationship to my parents as a son is different than my relationship as a husband or as a father. But that doesn't make me three people. I can be one person with one name and have many relationships. Amen. That's simply how the Godhead operates. The Father's not another God. That's just the relationship. He's the Father in creation. He's the Father of all things because He created all things. Amen. He's the Son in redemption. Praise God. Because He came to do a work of redemption, to be our sacrifice and to be our Savior. The Bible said, for God was manifest in the flesh. Who was? God was. It said, for God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. It was God that was manifest in flesh. Amen. When you get to heaven, you're going to see one God. And the only body you're going to see is Jesus Christ. Amen. Because God is a spirit, but God inhabited a body. So when you call Him Jesus or the Son of God or the Son of Man, you're talking about when the eternal God, the Spirit of God, put on a flesh body. And that's all it means. It doesn't mean He's another God. It's just God putting skin on. Amen. And when you talk about the Holy Ghost, you're talking simply about the Spirit of God. It's holy because it's separate from all other spirits. Amen. The Bible interchangeably uses the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. All of those are just simply talking about the spirit nature of God. But the Holy Ghost in relationship is regeneration. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the Bible said, thou shalt surely die. And whenever they sinned, at that precise moment, they died spiritually. Now their physical body lived on for many years, but spiritually, they died. Amen. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, that life, that spiritual life, is regenerated once again in you. Amen. So you see, that's what we're talking about tonight. Amen. When we say these three are one, just relationships. Just relationships. Just manifestations. Just the way God reveals Himself. God revealed Himself as a Father in creation. God revealed Himself as a Son in redemption. God revealed Himself in the Holy Ghost in regeneration. But those are just titles to differentiate the relationships we have with God. But it's still the same God. Amen. Now, is that clear as mud? Amen. Hope so. Praise the Lord. If not, we can go another hour. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Seriously, if you have any questions, get with me after service and we'll try to clear it up. Amen. And if I can't do it, I'll turn Brother Hart loose. All right. Praise God. Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'm just getting ready to get to my message when it's time to quit, but I'll go real fast. How's that? Amen. If you want to be a prevailing church, first of all, you've got to know who Jesus is. I said, you got to know who Jesus is. In the Bible, there were some men, and they wanted to cast out a devil. So they went to the house, and they found that devil-possessed man, and they said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out, and he did. And he ripped their clothes off and beat them black and blue. They went out of there bruised and bleeding, running for their lives. Amen. The Spirit said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Amen. Hey, it makes a difference. You need to know who Jesus really is. You've got to know Him personally. Not somebody else's relationship, but you have to know Him. Amen. Praise God. As a prevailing church, you've got to know who the rock is. Jesus said, Simon, or he called him Peter. Amen. And he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And there are some people that think Peter's the rock. That's what they teach. He was the bishop of Rome, supposedly, and the first bishop of Rome, and then that's been passed on until today. Amen. And so that's what they believe. They believe that Peter was the rock that the church was built on. This was not built on a man. Amen. Now he did say, he called him Peter, and he said, well, let me just read it to you. Thou art Peter. Now Peter had three names in the Bible. He's used three different names. Well, his Hebrew name was Simon. His Greek name was Petros or Peter. And his Aramaic name was Cephas. The word Cephas, Aramaic, and the word Peter, Greek or Petros, both of those mean a little piece of a stone or a little piece of a rock. It's a diminutive. Like, you know, John and Johnny. Johnny's a diminutive of John. Little Johnny. I've heard about that booger all my life. He's always getting in trouble. Anybody does anything wrong, it's little Johnny. Amen. For a long time, I called myself John. Then I grew up and said, you know what? I'm big enough to take it. Amen. And so that's my name. So I just went back and said, just call me Johnny. Amen. I'm not so little anymore anyway. All right. Thank you. Praise God. You need to know who the rock is. We're not talking about the little rock here. Jesus didn't build his church on the Petros, the little rock. He said, but I'm going to build my church on the Petra. The Petra is the massive rock. Amen. It's the huge rock. It's the mountain. Hallelujah. Amen. And so you need to know that you're not built on Peter the rock, and he'd be the first one to tell you that. Amen. And this rock's not built on Peter. This rock is built on Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what the church is built on. You want a prevailing church? We've said it before, I'll say it again. He's not the God of the rope. He's the God of the rock. World talks about get to the inner rope and tie a knot and hang on. That's not for Christians. We're not dangling anywhere. We are founded steadfastly. We are founded firmly. We got both feet on the rock, and the rock is not going to move. Amen. And so he tells us tonight, you need the prevailing church needs to know who the rock is. Amen. And then the prevailing church, it's got to be a binding church. Jesus said, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth, I'm going to bind it in heaven. Hey, we need to be a binding church. There's some things you need to bind up. The devil's first on the list. Last Sunday night, I believe it was, when Brother Calk was preaching, He come across a spirit, and he just told it right away. He said, I'm not afraid of you. Amen. You don't have to be afraid of any spirit. You don't have to be afraid of any devil, because you have the prevailing church is a binding church. Amen. Brother Billy Cole was in a service, and there was a guy started cutting up and doing all kinds of devilish things. And he said, take that rug right there and roll him up in it and stick him over in the corner. We'll deal with him later. He said, right now it's time to preach the word of the Lord. The devil come in the service trying to make a distraction. He didn't even miss a beat. They grabbed the man, rolled him up in the carpet, stuck him over in the corner, went ahead and had church, then went over and cast the devil out of him. I'm telling you tonight, this church is a binding church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's not any power, there's not any spirit that can come against this church. It's a prevailing, overcoming, overthrowing church. Amen. And if you're going to be a prevailing church, you've got to be a loosened church. Amen. You remember what Jesus said right after Lazarus resurrected? There he stood, he's bound. in his grave clothes from his feet up. And he's got a napkin on his face. Amen. And Jesus didn't loosen. He said to his disciples, he said, loose him and let him go. We need to be a loosing church. Amen. People come in here all bound up. We need to set them free. Amen. I've always thought that must be exciting. They lifted that old veil off of his head. His eyeballs wide open, snapping with life. His mouth opens in a great big hallelujah. They start unwrapping. He gets his hands loose and they go up in the air. Hallelujah. They get his feet undone and he begins to shout and dance and worship the Lord. Hey, we need to be a loosing church. Amen. That's what a prevailing church is. People come in here and they're bound by some kind of sin and they're bound by some kind of a habit. We need to be a loosing church. People come in here with a bad reputation. We need to be a loosing church. We don't need to have any loose tongues among us. We don't need to have any gossips among us. We don't need to have any criticism among us. We don't need to be condemning people. We need to be loosing people. We need to be loving people. That's how you set people free. Amen. If you live it like it's supposed to be lived, people will want it what you have. Amen. And when they see that in you, and they see that love, amen, and they see that genuine spirit, amen, it starts loosing some things. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to loose some things. Prevailing church is a loosing church. I didn't say it's a loose church. I said it's a loosing church. There's a world of difference. Brother, I got another sermon already here. We'll preach that another time. But it's a loosing church. Amen. It's about setting people free. Hallelujah. And a prevailing church is a gospel preaching church. Jesus said, verse number 21, he said that he began to tell them how he must go into Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the holy city. Jerusalem was the religious city. Jerusalem was the city where God put his name. But he said, when I go there, he said, I'm going to suffer many things. Now, suffering's not a popular subject, but we're going to suffer some things. Even a prevailing church is going to suffer some things. One thing is you're going to be misunderstood. Now, it's bad when people justly criticize us. Brother was telling me today about a man that went to visit Pentecostal church, and the guy immediately said, how were you baptized? And the guy said, well, I was baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the preacher said, you were baptized into the harlot church. Now, do you think the guy went back to that? No. That's foolish. That's absolutely foolish. That's arrogant. That's proud. That's contemptible. Amen. That's not a gospel preaching church. Brother Pugh said that one of the reasons that we hurt ourselves in the early days of Pentecost is because we would set up this straw man and we'd tear him down. You know, we'd do that. We'd set up this straw man and we'd tear down the straw man and everybody would shout while we're tearing it down. But people that really needed to hear the gospel didn't hear the gospel. They just heard what we didn't believe. You don't have to go into a bunch of negative. Just tell the truth. You don't have to go in and tear people down. Just tell the truth. Anybody believe we have the truth around here? Just tell the truth. You don't have to tear somebody down to tell the truth. Amen. Matter of fact, anytime you start tearing folks down, you've already destroyed the bridge. You won an argument, but you lost a soul. Be careful. The Bible said that this sword is sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut. Be careful how you use it. Use it wisely. Use it carefully. The Bible said, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be careful. Amen. And so this is the prevailing church is a gospel preaching church. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to do some suffering. And he said, they're even going to kill me. But he said, I'm going to resurrect. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to be raised on the third day. Do you know what the gospel is? The gospel, according to Paul in the book of Corinthians, he said it's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, how do I know that Jesus is real? Because I died with him. Amen, brother. Troy James, I came to an altar one time when I was 15 years old, and I died in Midland, Texas at an altar. Amen. I died to my sins. I died to myself. Had an altar of repentance. And then I got buried. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother McDaniel took me in the water and he buried me in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And when I came up out of that water, my sins were buried behind me. Hallelujah. Amarillo Campground, June 19th, 1967. Amen. I went down to the altar and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and I rose with a brand new life. That's the gospel, hallelujah. Repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking and other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. That's the prevailing church. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. I want to be a prevailing church. How about you? Amen. I want to be an overthrowing church. I want to be an overcoming church. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't have time to get wrapped up in anything else. Pray. We don't have time to answer critics. We don't have time to answer criticism. Amen. I told you Wednesday night, I got phone calls from a prophetess this week trying to hang up the gospel plow. Amen. She called me and right away she said, turn down your TV. I got a word from the Lord. I said, I don't have a TV. I'm sitting in a restaurant. Amen. Then she started running down some other preacher. And that's when I hung up. You want to run down another preacher, don't call me. Because you hear me. If you'll run down another man of God, you'll run down this man of God. When you attack one authority, you'll attack another authority. Picked up her spirit right away. Amen. She called again, didn't answer. Called at 12:30 at night, I didn't answer. Called the next day, I didn't answer. Listened to her voicemail, and she told me right away who she was. She said, She said, I told me her name. She said, I'm a daughter of God and the sister of Jesus. And I have a prophecy for you. She said, your name is about ready to be removed from the book of life. She don't have that authority. No human being on this earth has that authority. That's between Jesus and Johnny Grissom. And it depends more on me than it does on him. He wants it there. God's not quick. Let me tell you something tonight. God wants your name in His book. He doesn't stand there with a ready pen and every time you make a mistake, He blots out your name. Then you repent and He writes it back. And you make a mistake and He blots it out. And you repent and He writes it in. That'd be like the guy. The guy told his friend, he said, I want you to see if my blinker's working. Go back there and tell me if it's working. And the guy was standing back and he said, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Amen. God's not like that. He don't want to blot your name out. Amen. Praise God. He don't want to blot your name out. Amen. But you know what? We can't get sidetracked here. I know that there's folks that don't like what's going on. I'm sorry. I wish they did. You're going to hear criticisms. I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want anybody to be lost. I don't want anybody to be mad. But we cannot take up all of our time just putting out little fires, trying to make people happy, trying to answer criticisms. Amen. Praise God. We just got to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. Did you know that there's still a lot of people in Athens, Texas that don't know this truth yet? I said, did you know there's a lot of people in this city that don't know this truth yet? Our responsibility is to reach them with the gospel. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a prevailing church. Amen. Praise the Lord. My. I got to quit, but I sure feel the preacher here tonight. Let me just hush by saying this, all right? Then, Brother Hart, pull my coattail if I start going again. Right? Did you know the devil tried to get the apostles off track?
Yeah.
You know how he did it? He said there was murmuring that arose in the church.
Yeah, in the church.
There were some people that were dissatisfied in the church. And the apostles didn't go referee. You know what they did? They called seven faithful men. And they said, would you please take care of that? We need to pray and preach the gospel. We need to pray and preach the gospel. Would you take care of that? Is that all right? That's the way the apostles did it. Amen. Some people get mad if the preacher don't call. So if my wife calls, that's not good enough. Got to hear from you, Brother Grissom. Why? We're one. She may be calling because I asked her to. Is that okay? Is that all right? Can we go to heaven just because we love Jesus? Can we love the Lord enough that we don't let any little thing get us down? Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the apostle said, we don't have time to wait tables. Amen. We don't have time to wipe noses. Amen. Hey, we just need, you're some good men. They got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let them help work these things out. And let us go ahead and preach and pray so we can give direction to the church and we can keep growing. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. He didn't pull my coattail. He pushed me. He gave me 10 more minutes. Yeah. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Are we a prevailing church tonight? Do we know who Jesus is? Do we know who the Rock is? Hallelujah. Are we a loosing church? Are we a binding church? Hallelujah. Are we a gospel preaching church? Amen. Let's be a prevailing church. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't we come to the altar tonight? Amen. Let's give ourselves to Jesus.